بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. The topic is fitan, afflictions in our times, and the position of the Muslim towards them. First, the meaning of fitna. The linguistic meaning of fitna is testing, affliction, trials. And it's taken from fitnatul fiddati wa dhahab, the testing of gold and silver. When you melt them with fire in order to distinguish the pure from the impure. Also, the fitan linguistically means the burning, and from this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ, the day when they will be burning on fire. Meaning, in the day of resurrection. As to the legal or Islamic meaning of fitna, in essence it has the same meaning of the language. And that's why the fitna came in the Quran to mean al-ibtila, testing, trials, and distinguishing. قال الله تعالى أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون, in Surah Al-Ankabut 26-29 verse 2. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya chapter 2, 21, verse 35, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Everyone is going to taste death, and we shall make you a trial of you, we'll make a trial of you with evil and with good, and to us you will be returned. And also the term fitna came to mean burning and punishment in the fire, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Dhariyat 56 verse 14, ذُوقُوا فِتْنَتَكُمْ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. Surah Al-Dhariyat verse 14. 51, yes, sorry, the number 51:14. Taste you your trial, burning, this is what you used to ask to be hastened. The term fitna also came in the Quran to mean other meanings like shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, and other than that. Secondly, fitan is a sunnah, or the fitan are universal decrees, sunan kawniyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in his book that his testing of the slaves and trials is a universal way, not changed nor altered, as clearly mentioned in the verse أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. 29:2-3 العنكبوت. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and not to be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that before putting them to test. وقال الله تعالى in Surah البقرة 2:214 أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله. Or think you that you will enter paradise without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments, and were so shaken that even the messenger and those who believed along with him said, when will come the help of Allah? Yes, certainly the help of Allah is near. And so it becomes clear that the fitna and ibtila, the trials and afflictions, أمر قد كتبه الله على الأولين والآخرين, is a matter preordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befalling those of the past and of the latter times. And it is inevitable that each one of the children of Adam will be tested and trial. He may pass, he may fail, all due to a great and perfect wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, the wisdom in ordaining the fitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ordain a matter, nor does anything except due to a hikmah, to wisdom. Known, maybe not known. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. As he mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:23, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He cannot be questioned as to what he does, while they will be questioned. We know some of the wisdoms. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بخير والحمد لله. In the ordainment of fitan. From these wisdoms is number one, تمييز المؤمنين من المنافقين, distinguishing the believers from the non-believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ 29 verse 3 العنكبوت. And we indeed tested those who were before them, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars, although Allah knows all that before putting them to test. Second wisdom is purifying the believers from their sins. Purifying the believers from their sins. And this is as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام asserted, ما يصيب المسلم من نصب ولا هم ولا حزن ولا أذى ولا غم حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها عن خطاياه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no fatigue, no disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the pricks he receives from a thorn, but that Allah expiates some of his sins for that. So whatever befalls the Muslim from the afflictions, and catastrophes and trials, then there is expiation for his sins. And this expiation covers the minor and the major sins in accordance with the intensity of the trial. And we know that the highest intensity of trials befalls the prophets and those who are next in piety, and then those who are next to those in piety, and so forth. The third wisdom is lifting the ranks of the believer. Lifting the ranks of the believer to higher levels because of the reward he will gain from the trial, the affliction, if he is patient. And there are texts which indicate this, as in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, ما يصيب المؤمن من شوكة فما فوقها إلا رفعه الله بها درجة وحط عنه خطيئة. Nothing befalls the believer from the level of a thorn or higher, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifts him by that to higher level and then drops off him a sin, clears him from a sin. And also in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, ما من شيء يصيب المؤمن حتى الشوكة تصيبه إلا كتب الله له حسنة أو حطت عنه خطيئة. Nothing befalls the believer, meaning from affliction, even to the extent of a thorn, if he is touched by, hurt by it, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for him and writes for him a good deed and expiates one sin for him. So there is raising to higher levels because of his patience and perseverance. Fourthly, from the wisdoms, is compensating the believer. When the believer is put for a trial, like losing a beloved one, or losing some wealth, or if it's destruction, or losing a part of it, or its destruction, and if he perseveres and patient, Allah will compensate him by giving him something better than what he took from him, as in the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَالْ إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ يعني عينيه فَصَبَرَ عَوَّطْتُهُ مِنْهَا الْجَنَّةِ. Allah said, if I deprive my slave of his two beloved things, meaning his eyes, and he remains patient, I will let him enter paradise in compensation for them. These are some of the wisdoms behind the ordainment of fitan, of afflictions, and they are just few out of many. And what is kept with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his knowledge, and is much, much, much greater. There is no doubt about that. However, in what is mentioned, it suffices as an indication. Now, the types of fitan. There are many types of fitan, but they all converge to two main ones. They all converge. The origin is really two types. First, fitna to shubuhat, the fitna of shubuhat, unclear matters, doubts, misconceptions. These are these afflictions of shubuhat oppose the aqeedah, oppose the creed, leading to corruption in thinking and in concepts. So the person afflicted will deviate from the path of the Salaf, the total path or some of it, or may deviate in understanding the divine wisdoms concerning certain matters, or he may innovate in the deen, in the religion, that which is not part of it, and depart from the sunnah of the Rasul, of our Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And this type of fitan is the greatest, because it can lead to kufr, it can lead to disbelief, it can lead to hypocrisy, and it can lead to innovations. This is the first major one. The second is fitna to shahawat, the fitna of lusts and desires. And these oppose the will. These oppose the will and lead to corruption in conduct. Despite the danger of this type of fitan, nevertheless it is less dangerous than the first type, the fitna of shubuhat, the fitna of doubts and misconceptions. And from the fitan of this type is following the lusts of one's belly and one's private part and the like. Fifthly, now, the causes of fitan. The causes of fitan. There are many causes which lead to fitan. And from these, number one, اتِّبَاعُ الْهَوَى وَفَسَادُ الْقَصْدِ, following desires and corruption of intent. قال الله تعالى in Surah Sad, chapter 38, verse 26, يَا دَاوُودُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَاحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله. O David, Dawood alayhi salam, verily we have placed you as a successor on earth, so judge you between men in truth and justice, and follow not your desire, for it will mislead you from the path of Allah. Verily those who wander astray from the path of Allah have a severe torment, because they forgot the day of reckoning. This is the first reason. The second reason, الجهل ونبذ العلم, ignorance and abandonment of knowledge. The person with beneficial knowledge knows the fitan and their doors, and so he will be safe. However, the ignorant, it is easy for him to fall in the fitna because he is ignorant concerning it and its causes, and of its causes and of the means to treat it and deal with it. The third cause is following the mutashabih, following the texts that are not entirely clear, and leaving the texts that are entirely clear on their own. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned about in Surah Al Imran, chapter 1, verse 7. And there the point, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْرٌ, as to those who have deviation in their heart, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ, as to those who have deviation in their hearts, they follow that, they follow that which is not entirely clear of it, of the Quran, seeking fitna in that. So for those in hearts, whose hearts there is deviation, they follow that which is not entirely clear, they're off seeking al-fitna and seeking for its hidden meanings. So following the unclear texts lead to fitna, as in reality, as what took place with the people of desires from the deviant sects in the past and present. Fourthly, al-ifratu wa-tafrit, exaggeration and negligence. Islam is a medium course between negligence and exaggeration. As to exaggeration, it leads to fitan. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إياكم والغلو, beware of exaggeration, فإنه أهلك من كان قبلكم, for it led to the destruction of those before you. حملهم على أن سفكوا دماءهم, it led them to shed their blood. واستحلوا محارمهم, and made lawful what's unlawful for them. These are just few causes. Otherwise, there are other causes for fitan. Sixth matter, some forms of contemporary fitan. In our times, fitan has increased and multiplied, turning many away from their deen. Some of these forms are as follows. Number one, the fitna of wealth, fitnatul mal. Many people seek to gain wealth in any possible way, caring not whether it is lawful or unlawful. What matters is to attain such wealth, thinking that it is the means to cover the needs and to meet the needs. And that's why people are in competition, strong competition, to earn this wealth and to have more of it, out of pride. And this is very, very dangerous, and it's spreading. The second is the fitna of women, fitnatul nisa, and this is the greatest fitna on mankind. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, ما تركت بعدي فتنة أضر على الرجال من النساء, I have not left behind me a fitna greater in magnitude on men, or more harmful to men than women. Shaitan took hold of many people through this fitna, where he inspired and whispered to many women to dress in attractive clothes, to put on all the attractive forms of perfumes, and the like from the means of fitan, adornments, almost half naked, mixing environments, men and women, which led to many severe consequences, and many people became negligent concerning lowering of the gaze, men and women, and trying to protect themselves from this fitna. Many men are leaving homes for affairs, and many women are getting bored, quote unquote, through the beatification of shaitan, leaving for another affair. Third form of fitan in our time is fear of people. Because of the weakness of faith and weakness in certainty and dependence upon Allah. And that's why many people began to fear other than Allah, and withhold from saying the truth, fearing for their lives and their provisions and so forth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ankabut 29 verse 1, فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Ankabut, I'm sorry, verse 10. Al-Ankabut, verse 10. Sorry for that. Okay. Of mankind are some who say we believe in Allah, but if they are made to suffer for the sake of Allah, they consider the trial of mankind as Allah's punishment. The fourth form is the fitna of following the mutashabih. Fitna of following the mutashabih, the fitna of following that which is not entirely clear on its own. And this is the fitna which led to the emergence of deviant sects from the people of ahwa, of desires, like those who deny the attributes of Allah or some of it, or those who make it permissible for them to shed the blood of Muslims based upon any kind of ta'wil or understanding, or those who deny the pre-decree of Allah which encompasses everything, and those who want to make takfir of Muslims because of their sins and disobedience, and of those who call for rebellion against the Muslim rulers by force, and those who want to give allegiance to the leaders of groups and making takfir of those who oppose them for that. These are just few from the many deviant sects of the past and present. The fifth one, fitnatu taqleed al-kuffar, the affliction of following the ways of the kafirs, where people in many parts of the Muslim world are following and imitating the men of the kafirs and the women of the kafirs in their dress, in their movements, in their etiquettes, and in having them as examples. Alaykum as-salam. Which led to a problem with the Islamic identity. These are again a few. Now comes, what is the position of the Muslim towards fitan? And often we hear this question, and it is a very legitimate and good question. Islam has set forth means of protection from fitan and made clear the position that the Muslim should take vis-a-vis the fitan. From that, number one, seeking refuge in Allah from fitan. Seeking refuge in Allah from fitan, from afflictions and trials. And this applies to being done in salah, in the prayers, and in other than the prayers. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one all capable to prevent and protect the believer from befalling into the fitan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us to make the following invocation in salah before taslim. He said, إِذَا فَرَغَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ التَّشَهُدِ, when the one of you finishes making the tashahud in salah, the last tashahud, at-tashahud al-akhir, فَلْيَتَعَوَّدْ مِنْ أَرْبَعْ, then let him seek refuge in Allah from four, and they are مِنْ عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمْ, from the punishment of hell, وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ, and from the punishment of the grave, وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ, and from the afflictions of life and death, وَمِنْ شَرِّ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ, and from the evil of the false Christ. This is the first means. The second means is holding to the book of Allah and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the understanding of the companions, according to the understanding of the companions and those who follow them from the righteous predecessors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 123, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, then whoever follows my guidance shall neither go astray nor fall into distress and misery. The third means is طلب العلم الشرعي النافع, seeking the beneficial Islamic knowledge, the legal knowledge. And the sources, from the authentic books of the righteous predecessors and the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, the reliable ones who follow the path of the Salaf. This is where the Muslim should look for, so that he can acquire the legal knowledge, the beneficial legal knowledge. Ilm, knowledge, is from the greatest means of protection, because it opposes ignorance. And the knowledgeable person is the one who will protect himself and his family, and thus his society at large, from afflictions and their ways. Fourth, ayatul salam. Fourth means cautioning not to rebel against the general Muslim body and their leaders. That's because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed the great companion Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman when he asked him about afflictions and trials, and what should he do concerning that, he said, he asked the Prophet as to what to do if he attains times of fitan. The Prophet ﷺ said, تَلْزَمْ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ. You hold to the general body of Muslims and their leader. حذيفة asked the Prophet ﷺ, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ جَمَاعَ وَلَا إِمَامَ. If in case they don't have this general Muslim body, and nor do they have an Imam leader, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا. Then abandon all these sects. وَلَوْ أَنْ تَعُضَّ عَلَىٰ أَصْلِ شَجَرَةٍ. To the extent that if you go and bite on the trunk of a tree, حَتَّى يُدْرِكَكَ الْمَوْتُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. Until death befalls you while you are on that. And here it is very important to remember and to caution against the rebellion against the leaders, even if they are tyrant and oppressors, as long as there is no clear cut kufr, as long as there is no clear cut kufr, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا أَن تَرَوْا مِنْهُمْ كُفْرًا بَوَاحْ. Unless you see from them clear kufr based on authority from Allah, that this is clear kufr. عندكم من الله فيه برهان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Unless you see clear kufr based on an authority that you have from Allah, that this is clear kufr what they are doing. So number one, there must be determined that their kufr is clear without the slightest doubt. Our Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthameen, used to say that the clarity should be clearer than the sun in the brightest day, in the clearest day. No tiny cloud whatsoever. Meaning no tiny doubt, without any possible minute doubt. Because kufr meaning disbelief, because this is a way that leads to fitna and to bloodshed, as it is witnessed in almost many Muslim countries. And fifth is preserving the taqwa. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, holding to that. And taqwa means to act in obedience to Allah on a light guidance, meaning from Allah, seeking Allah's reward, and to refrain from disobeying Allah on a light, on a guidance from Allah, fearing his punishment. This is the meaning of taqwa. This is the best protection from fitna. It's the barrier between the person and following his desires that leads to afflictions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, guide us to all that is beloved to Him and pleasing to Him. And finally, our invocation is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah.